I'm responsible for your silliness because I did the same thing that you're doing now for 10 years. I protected Mr. Trump for 10 years.
Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former personal attorney, testified for nearly 8 hours before the House Oversight Committee on Wednesday. The explosive hearing covered a lot of ground, including how President Trump conducted private business operations while in office, the details of hush money payments he made to adult film star Stormy Daniels, and what he knew about the WikiLeaks email dump. President Trump's personal finances were also a point of contention.
It was my experience that Mr. Trump inflated his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed amongst the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes.
And in his opening remarks, Michael Cohen literally brought the receipts.
Copies of financial statements from 2011, 2012, and 2013 that he gave to such institutions such as Deutsche Bank.
The documents are a summary of Trump's net worth, categorizing assets, including cash and properties, and liabilities. In 2013, those documents show Trump's net worth nearly doubling thanks to a new $4 billion line item attributed to something known as brand value.
Did this information provided to us inflate the president's assets?
I believe these numbers are inflated.
Under questioning you just heard from Representative Lacey Clay of Missouri, Michael Cohen said Donald Trump lied about how much money he had when it suited his interests.
Did the president ever provide inflated assets to a bank in order to help him obtain a loan?
These documents and others were provided to Deutsche Bank on one occasion where I was with them in our attempt to obtain money so that we can put a bid on the Buffalo Bills.
But this is not the first time Deutsche Bank's involvement in lending to Donald Trump has come to the attention of Congress. In fact, last month, the House Intelligence and Financial Services Committees launched an investigation into the president's dealings with the German financial giant. So what is the House looking for, and what does Michael Cohen's testimony reveal about Deutsche Bank's relationship with President Trump? That's where we begin today. This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and I'm joined now by two journalists who've been covering Deutsche Bank and its relationship with President Trump closely. Jenny Strasberg is a senior correspondent for European finance at The Wall Street Journal. Welcome to The Takeaway, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
And David Enrich is finance editor at The New York Times, and he's writing a book on Deutsche Bank and Trump. Perfect timing, David. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
Jenny, let's start with you. For those of us here who are less familiar with Deutsche Bank, can you give us who are they and what is their presence in the United States?
Sure. So they've been around since the late 1800s, started as a German bank to serve German corporates. And really, they came onto the scene in the United States with their deal in 1998 to buy Bankers Trust, which put them on the Wall Street radar. And with that grew their aspirations to take on the likes of Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and the big investment banks. And then that became the source of many a regulatory issue for the bank, particularly during and since the financial crisis. And it's no exaggeration to say that their future has become a huge question mark, but the Trump topic is front and center there, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, David, let's talk a little bit about that. You're literally writing the book on this. How far back does President Trump's relationship with Deutsche Bank go?
It goes back, it really starts in earnest in the late 90s, around the time, as Jenny said, that Deutsche Bank developed these really strong aspirations to be a proper U.S. investment bank, to compete with Wall Street. And Deutsche Bank viewed Donald Trump as the perfect type of person to do business with because he was a guy who had defaulted on his debts to other banks, and therefore other banks weren't willing to take the risk of doing business with him. Deutsche Bank needed a foothold in the United States, and so it needed to do business with people and with institutions that other banks were not willing to touch with a 10-foot pole. Donald Trump fit that perfectly, and off to the races they went.
David, do we have any sense of how much money Trump has borrowed so far from Deutsche Bank and whether any of that is still outstanding?
Yeah, and Trump over the 20 years between 1998 and now, borrowed well over $2 billion.
And that's billion with a B.
Billion with a B. It's a huge number, especially given what we know about the limited amount we know about Trump's net worth, which is, you know, he says he's a billionaire. That's far from clear that it's actually true. So the fact that he's borrowed over 15 or 20 years billions of dollars from Deutsche Bank is extraordinary. Currently, a lot of that's been repaid or in some cases defaulted on by Trump, so it's not still outstanding. As of the time he entered the White House, though, he still owed more than $300 million to Deutsche Bank. It was his biggest creditor. And that's really, it's a really extraordinary thing to think about, that the president of the United States is deeply, deeply in debt to a foreign institution.
Jenny, I want to bring you back in here because we're talking about Deutsche Bank today mostly because of Michael Cohen's testimony yesterday. And yesterday, he supplied records outlining President Trump's efforts to secure a loan from Deutsche Bank from 2011 to 2013. Michael Cohen said that this loan was part of a failed effort to buy the Buffalo Bills or to buy a share in the Bills. Jenny, would Deutsche Bank have known that President Trump's statements had been inflated, as Michael Cohen suggested in his testimony yesterday?
Well, I mean, it was certainly dramatic and exciting to hear from a longtime insider. We covered a secret deposition in the lawsuit in 2007 where Trump acknowledged that he was no stranger to inflating his property values. He said, and I'll quote from our article, "I think everybody does. Who wouldn't?" Now, this is a private deposition. And he said, even verbally, he inflates the value of properties in general, not beyond reason. So this is not the first time this topic has come up.
And this also came up quite a bit in the testimony with Cohen yesterday. And David, I'm curious to know, Deutsche Bank did cut Trump off at some point.
Yeah, I mean, very relatively recently. It wasn't until the early days of the presidential primaries in 2016.
What was the impetus for that?
The impetus was that Trump went back to them one more time for another loan for quite a bit of money that seemed to ostensibly be headed toward a golf resort he owns in Scotland. And at this point, this request went up the chain of command at Deutsche Bank. And for the first time, senior executives said, no, this is crazy. The guy is, first of all, he's very controversial. Second of all, he's running for president. It's crazy to throw more money at him. And going back to the Bills loan, which I think is really interesting, and I talked yesterday to people. I'd never heard about this Bills loan until yesterday, which is weird because I've been reporting on this for well over a year. And talking to people yesterday who were involved in this process and knew about this loan request and had seen those documents, and they had looked at those assets. It wasn't just the $4 billion figure. It was just individual pieces of real estate that he was clearly overvaluing. And Deutsche Bank had a practice when they would look at financial statements from Trump, and they would just mark down the assets by 60 or 70%, so they knew this guy was a fabulist and an exaggerator and a defaulter, and yet they still had the stomach to do business with him.
The House Financial Services Committee is potentially going to investigate this now that there's a Democratic majority. Your thoughts, David?
Well, I think the holy grail here for investigators in Congress and for many of us in the media is the Russia connection. And as Jenny just said, Deutsche Bank has gotten in a lot of trouble for money laundering for Russians. What investigators and journalists like me and Jenny want to know is Deutsche Bank the nexus between Donald Trump and Russia? Did money from Russia go to Donald Trump by way of Deutsche Bank? We don't know the answer to that yet. Journalists have been trying for years to figure that out, but we do not have subpoena power. House Democrats now do. And so I think we're going to get some answers.
So, David, we just mentioned the potential for a House investigation. I'm wondering if you can tell us what threads you think they will follow.
I think the big thread is whether Deutsche Bank has been a channel for money to illicitly come to Donald Trump over the years from Russia. And the reason this is interesting is that Deutsche Bank for many years was a pioneer of lending in Russia and of building relationships with large Putin-connected, Kremlin-connected banks. And so the rumor that has circulated for a couple of years now is that part of the reason Deutsche Bank was willing to take such risks and lend to Donald Trump when no one else would is that someone in Russia or something in Russia was providing them some sort of protection against the risk of Trump defaulting. And that's unproven. It's unconfirmed. God knows I've been trying, and I know Jenny has been too. And we just don't know if it's true. But there's a lot of the questions that people like Maxine Waters, who's the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, and Adam Schiff, who's the chairman of House Intelligence, have been asking make it quite clear that this is exactly what they're gunning for, and or at least it's one of the things that they're gunning for. And I don't know what they're going to find, but they have a much better chance of finding that out with subpoena power and with some of the really serious investigators that they've brought on recently than mere mortals like me.
Or like, should we say, like the rest of us journalists here trying to make sense. David, if Trump were to default on these loans, what could that mean for Deutsche Bank? I mean, would it matter to a bank that large, or would it be a pretty intense hit?
Financially, it doesn't matter all that much. I mean, this is a bank with hundreds of billions of dollars in assets, and Trump's outstanding loans are, you know, around $300 million right now. Reputationally, politically, it is hard to overstate how much it would matter. This is one of the reasons Trump has been able to receive so many loans from Deutsche Bank is that they have extracted from him what's called a personal guarantee. So each time Deutsche Bank makes a loan, these aren't going to Trump directly. They go to these LLCs that Trump controls, which are supposed to shield his personal money from being seized if he defaults. Well, in some of these cases, including the most recent loan Deutsche Bank did to Trump, which is for the old post office building in Washington, D.C., Trump's personal guarantee is attached, which means if he defaults, Deutsche can seize his money, his cash at the bank, his personal assets, whether it's an airplane or something like Mar-a-Lago. So they have extraordinary power over him if he defaults. And again, that seems like a weird theoretical, but keep in mind that Trump defaults over and over and over again. This is one of his defining traits as a businessman. And so it's not really that theoretical a question. It's a very real question. And I can tell you, Deutsche Bank executives are terrified about this. They're terrified about being in the situation of if Trump defaults or falls behind on his loan payments, what do they do? Do they seize the president's assets? That's crazy. On the other hand,
is it? I mean, we're in a moment that just feels crazy.
Everything is crazy now, so that's a given. But that would be an extraordinary step for them, for the bank to take, especially since the bank is regulated and subject to prosecution by the federal government, which Donald Trump controls. On the other hand, if Trump were to default and Deutsche Bank were not to seize his assets, that's essentially an enormous in-kind gift, a huge financial gift to the president of the United States, which at best looks awful. At worst, it violates campaign finance rules. It violates, I don't even know what, but it's at best very unseemly. And so Deutsche Bank is stuck in this situation of its own making where in the possible event that Donald Trump doesn't pay back his money, they have a menu of awful options to choose from.
David Enrich is finance editor at The New York Times, working on a book about Deutsche Bank and Trump. And Jenny Strasberg is senior correspondent for European finance for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.
And we should add, we reached out to Deutsche Bank for comment on its lending to the Trump Organization, and the bank declined to comment.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.